We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I want to draw your attention today. I'm going to get right into the Word of the Lord. And as I kind of read my scripture, I think they'll get this sound system worked out here. So Matthew 14, as soon as the meal was finished, he, speaking of Jesus, insisted that his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to the sea. When the wind came up against them and the waves were battered, they were battered by the waves. About 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves, churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" The two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down. Very familiar Bible story. What I want to talk to you today is on this subject, invitation to mastery. For the child of God, and your walk with God began a long time before you ever became a part of this church or any other church, the church that eventually led you to God, and from that you have come, or this is the place that you found God. God was working in your life years, probably decades, before you were even aware that He was calling to you, that His love was reaching for your life. In our lives are connected events. Life isn't nearly as random as we often think or imagine that it might be. The events that occurred in the lives of these disciples prior to this event all led up to them being able to brave this storm and face the context of where they were and handle it in a masterful way. The lessons of that first time were meant to be carried. The events of the days just prior to them being sent and put in the boat and sent across the sea, all of those events led up to prepare them for what they would face on that journey across the lake that night. It's kind of like David. In David's life, when he stood at the tent of Saul, explaining that he was more than a match for Goliath that stood in the valley of Elah challenging Israel. He said there was a lion that came to take one of the sheep. And he said, "I took the lion and I smote him." He said, "Then a bear came and I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him." And he said, "This uncircumcised Gentile Philistine, Goliath, won't be a problem either." You see, the lion attack prepared David for the bear attack. The bear attack and the lion attack had prepared him. In finding mastery over them, he achieved mastery to be able to face the Goliath. That's exactly what God intends for us. He intends that we take mastery and victories from one spiritual place in our life, of one difficulty, and translate that into the next place that we come in life. All three of these events were a preparation. Excuse me. Goliath was not the final chapter in the story. That was not the greatest purpose for David's life. There was kingdom leadership in his future. And the lion and the bear and the giant, the 15 years that he hid and ran from Saul, from the time the anointing was put across his brow until he ascended to the throne of Israel, all of these were preparatory years, preparing him for the spiritual future that God had intended for him. Jesus teaches us always in familiar environments. God always brings things to us, not in strange places, but always in environments that we are comfortable with, settings where we have achieved a measure of success. That's why he put them in the boat, and this challenge came on the sea, because there was at least three men in that boat that we know. In fact, if you trace the history of the 12, you can find historically all of their lives were connected together in some way, except for Judas. Judas was the only one whose life was not connected in some way to the other 11. But we know at least Peter, James, and John were fishermen. They knew this lake by the back of their hand. They had found themselves in many storms and many situations. So Jesus took them to a place to which they had deep insight, tremendous skill, acumen, and mastery to test and to challenge them. A place where they would feel confident. But the envelope on this night was pushed beyond any limit or level of comfort that these disciples had ever known. It was a time for them to grow or sink. And God often puts us in spiritual places. He calls churches to spiritual places. We find ourselves in a familiar environment and yet at an envelope that we never anticipated, because it is a time and a purpose that God is going to invite us into a new level of spiritual mastery in our lives. We are rarely, again, tested outside of these familiar settings. Why are we forced to face things that always seem to challenge us and are just beyond our ability and the scope of our human ingenuity and ability? These venues of challenge that can seem to almost be overwhelming, bigger than we know how to address, either spiritually or mentally or in our own skill set. It's to remind us that life can never be lived victoriously or masterfully without the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. It is to keep us in a sense of understanding. Mark said that religion is the opiate of the masses, that it is for those who are weak and incapable of mastering their own lives. Well, look how good the experiment of Marxism is working, has worked in Russia and China and all the other places where it has been tried. I'm here to admit to you today that my life would lack a lot of poise. My life would lack peace and joy were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells in my life. I confess to you today that Jesus Christ makes that remarkable difference in life that changes the context of challenges and adversity from something that is fearful, that brings anxiety and is overwhelming, to something that instills a sense of calm and peace. No loving parent creates settings that expose the weakness of their children to humiliate them. No parent tries to dream up things where they can humiliate and embarrass their child and to expose things in their lives where they lack these skills and ability. But insightful parents understand that the struggles of their children are opportunities for them to grow, opportunities for them to learn skill sets that they do not have, opportunities for them to grow and mature, become a little more adult, because they know they're going to face a world in which is beyond the scope of that parent to be able to solve every problem that child has. So it is with God. So God embeds within every adversity, in every challenge of life, God embeds a venue of opportunity to achieve mastery in something that previously has overwhelmed us or bested us, or as which has caused a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress and fear in your life. If that's where you are today, if you're going through an anxious moment, if you are walking through a period of uncertainty, God is bringing you through a place where God intends for you to achieve a level of mastery in your life spiritually and in yourself personally that will give you a sense of, like David, a sense that I don't have to fear the lion, I don't have to fear the bear, I don't have to fear the giant. Jesus invites us into the middle of a storm to give us perspectives of how we achieve this kind of mastery in life. I think all of us that are old enough to have walked down life far enough understand that the thing that you want most in life is that wherever you are, a sense of adequacy. You want to know that if the bills are coming up, that there's an adequacy in the banking account to be able to answer the challenge of those bills. If you're being challenged in your job or career, you want to know that you have adequate skills and adequate intelligence to be able to take on the challenge of that. We all seek for that adequacy. Jesus Christ has come into my life and wants to come into every life that He may give it more than just a sense of adequacy, but He wants to instill mastery into your life. So Jesus invites us into this. The direction of Jesus for His disciples, Jesus sent them into the storm. He knew that He was sending them into the storm. The storm was not a surprise. It wasn't something in which He had not anticipated. But when the storm came, Jesus was close enough. He came close enough in the midst of that storm for them to see Him. In every storm, Jesus will always stay close enough that if you will look for Him in the midst of the challenge, you will see Him and you will find Him. Because there's not enough wind, there's not enough rain, there's not enough clouds to obliterate Him. But if you will look for Him in the adversities of life, you can find Him. Because if you're there, He sent you there, and He sent you there to achieve mastery. The 12 had spent a considerable amount of that night trying to get to the other side. Getting to the other side of Gennesaret was not an all-night thing. It was maybe a couple hours at worst to journey from one side of Gennesaret to the other side. So they have now been sent to the other side. They have been somewhere about 6 to 9 hours, closer to 9 hours. They had been battling this storm, toiling and rowing, the Bible said, in very familiar waters. Again, these were skilled mariners. The storm was just beyond the envelope of their mastery. These waves and how to deal with this, and also dealing with the men in the boat who were unskilled in the sea and all the problems their anxiety and fears would have created. They were in a pickle. I doubt that the fishermen among them could hide their faces of consternation. Even Peter, his eyes were glazed with fear. John had a sense of anxiety and tenseness on the lake that, though the other disciples had never seen before, they were well aware. These three men are over their head and we're sunk. The occupants of that ship, after all these hours, the Scripture gives us this context. They're exhausted. Fear's icy fingers had held them by the throat. They have no background. The storms on Galilee can be violent. They can come up suddenly. They can tax the best. But they had never seen anything like this. And so Jesus draws near. And when He draws near, because of their fear and anxiety, they completely misrepresent who He is. They completely forget. They see him as something else to fear. They look at him as if now this is something else to compound. It is a ghost. It must be some apparition. This must be some demonic force that has come to take us to the back, to the bottom, while the master is far away. Can you imagine? These men have spent a considerable amount of their time with Jesus. They know him. They see him. They can recognize him from a long way off. But in the midst of the anxiety, isn't it amazing how in situations of life we can so easily lose him? That our fear and anxiety can cause us to completely misrepresent who he is. And then this voice comes out of the storm. Peter always seems to grasp a deeper significance in every situation or in the statement than maybe the others would perceive. I think it justifies his stewardship of being given the keys to the kingdom of God. Jesus' voice speaks out of him, and while he didn't recognize the master in his panic and fear, even like a child that recognizes its mother's voice that's calming and soothing, when Peter heard the voice of the master, he immediately recognized the voice of the Lord. And so he said, "Master, if it's you, bid me come." This was an invitation. Peter was saying, in essence, "Lord, is the mastery of walking on a storm, is that something that's just uniquely yours? Or is it something that I can possess as well? Can I walk on the water as well as you? Can I walk on the storm?" That is an incredible mastery, unknown to man. A man who can rise above his storms and walk on them. Can I enjoy? Can I know the sense of that kind of mastery to be able to walk on that storm? One of the most intense moments occurs in John 14. The Bible describes it and tells us that the 12 have very troubled hearts. Jesus is trying to prepare them for the upcoming crucifixion. He's trying to prepare them for one of the darkest days and one of the most difficult challenges of his life. And Jesus talks to them about a way that they have to follow, a way that he's going to go that they know not. And so Thomas says, "How can we know the way unless you show us?" And then Philip asked him, said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know who I am, Thomas? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He was trying again to prepare them for a mastery of life where they could face some dark, dark moments, not lose their poise, not lose their faith, not act differently than the master would act. There comes this invitational moment, and he says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give. Not as the world giveth, but in the context of I can give it." What Jesus was saying, I'm inviting you. It's going to be a storm. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be one of the most taxing moments to your faith that you will ever face. But here's what I want to invite you into. I want to invite you into a poise and into a peace and a mastery that this world and nothing in this world can give you. How do we possess a peace, that kind of peace in the midst of life's darkest and most trying moments? How can we know that kind of adequacy, that kind of poise and competence to understand that Jesus Christ is inviting us as his disciples to step into a peace and a poise and a mastery that no storm, no adversity, no trouble, no challenge of life can overwhelm you? Let's go back to the storm. Peter steps out of the boat and steps into mastery. He takes a few bold steps in this new sense of mastery over something that physical science says is impossible. And then It's like it's always when it happens, just after that intoxicating moment of success, Peter becomes distracted by all of the ruckus of the storm around him. It causes him to lose his focus. And in loss of focus, he loses the Savior in the midst of the storm. And the minute he loses his sight of the Savior, the Bible said he begins to sink. He begins to sink. He begins to drown in sight of the Lord Jesus Christ because he lost his focus. I'm preaching to a church that there are events on our landscape. We have just come through events on the landscape that none of us could have imagined, that none of us could have planned for, that none of us, if we were honest, could say we were not prepared for it. If we had been told of some of the places that we have walked through together in the last few months, all of us would have agreed that we don't know how to navigate through this. But in through this entire process, God has been inviting. And without perhaps you even being unaware, you have stepped out of the boat of a comfortable environment. And you've begun to walk as a church on one of the most trying storms a church can walk through. And you have begun to achieve a new sense of spiritual mastery that you did not have a few months ago. But if you ever take your eye off the Master, if something begins to come up that you take your eye off of Him, in the very presence of the Master, you'll start to sink again. What do you think God wants for us? Do you think God wants to be this supernatural rescue lifeguard in our life that supernaturally always rushes in with his buoy and jumps into the storms of our lives and pull us flailing, panicking, spitting salt water out of our lungs, crying for mercy and help? Or do you think that he meant what he said when he came, that I come that you might have life? What kind of life? What kind of life? Everybody he said that to had been breathing decades before he ever said it. They had been born years before that. They had been living human entities a long time before that. Jesus was talking about a different kind of context of life. Just as he was talking about a different context of peace, he was talking about a different context of life. That kind of life, and life more abundantly. Does God want to always be our lifeguard, or has He come to share the mastery that there is in Him with us? Peter nearly drowned within arm's length of Jesus Christ. You and I can go under in the very sight of God if we take our eyes off of Him. Let me give you a very succinct bit of spiritual advice. Whatever you've got your eyes on, if it's not on the Lord Jesus Christ, at some point in your life, there's coming a storm and you're going to sink. You're going to sink. There is no man that can save you. There is no church that can save you. There is no human entity in your world that is strong enough to save you. Only Jesus Christ can save us. He is the answer to the mastery in our storms. How many times in your life and mine have we lost Him in the moment? Have we lost Him in the circumstance? We've questioned where He was. We've questioned His love. We've questioned the integrity of what He has promised us, when all that moment was designed for one thing, and that was, like Peter, for us to step out of where we were into a new dimension of spiritual mastery. Mastery is the fruit of confidence. The confidence that not just what God can do for us alone. In the worst moments of life, what God can do in us is only determined what God determines what God can eventually do through us. It's what God is able to do in the midst of trying, challenging, heart-rending, fearful, anxious moments. It's in those moments when we find Him that is always embedded in it, as I said, a step into a new dimension of mastery. When David faced Goliath, his God was so big, he never realized how big the giant was. It never crossed his mind that the giant was too big for him to challenge on that field today, that day, because his God was bigger than the giant. Until your God eclipses your problem, until your God eclipses your storms, until God eclipses that you understand, greater is He that is in me than he that is against me. Because greater is He, because the lion that's in us is greater than the lion that roars against us. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. If we look at our current situation as a body of Christ, I see nothing but a venue of opportunity. I see one of the greatest settings. I see a church being set up to master what could be terrifying, that to find some poise in life's darkness. Here is our calling. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are called into the dimension of that level of mastery. We're all called to stand, not in the fullness of the mastery or the fullness of the stature of any preacher, any pastor, any spiritual leader. We're called to stand in the mastery, in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. I think Simon's faith grasped that. I think Jesus demonstrates a mastery that He wants us to share. I believe He came, that God came as a man to show us what manhood could look like with God working on the inside of His life. You are so much more than what you have ever anticipated or thought or dreamed or hoped that you could ever be in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus said, come. And Peter had the good sense and the spiritual discernment to know, out of his own aspiration and out of his own ego, to walk on that water was impossible. But it was not beyond the possibility of the power of Christ working in him to do that. Peter wanted to know, do you want to share this mastery with me? Do you want me to share in this experience of standing above my storms? Or do I always have to cry out to you, Master, save me? No, Peter, my peace I give you. My peace I leave you. My mastery I give you. My mastery I leave you. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Oops, misstatement. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. If I have that kind of faith, I can walk masterfully in any challenge, in any opposition, in anything that stands in my pathway. Jesus Christ is encouraging. He is wooing. He is desiring for us to step out of the comfortable environment of where we feel like we have control. Inside that boat, Peter understood, there's not much this lake can throw at me that I can't handle. But to ask me to step out of my comfort zone into a new level of faith is going to take a mastery I don't possess. But Jesus said, I've got it, and I'm going to share it with you. come. That serenity in the storm is something that we are meant to know. It is evident to me that God's intention for His children is for us to share in that mastery. That's why He told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Understand there's more than one context of grace. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. But grace is more than just not getting or getting what I don't deserve. Grace is the impartation of God's power and strength. What He was saying to Paul, there is in mastery. There is mastery in my grace that I am imparting to you, that thorn cannot afflict you. It cannot abate your spiritual strength. It cannot stop you from your destiny. It cannot in any way inhibit or limit the power of the gospel to work through your life for the calling of my kingdom. So Paul says now, I can do all things through Christ. That word "through" in the Greek literally means infuse. I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with His strength. Let me put that in this context. If I take a tea bag and I steep it in boiling water, if I showed you the pot before the tea bag, what would you say was in the pot? Water. Now I put this tea bag in it, I turn the fire off, I cover the pot, and I let the tea bag steep in the water. I leave it there for a while. I come back in 10 minutes, I take the lid off, I pull the bag out, I press the water in it that's out. Now I ask you to look into that water, or into that pot. What's there? What would you tell me is in the pot? Why tea? When you take volume, isn't there still proportionately a much larger volume of water in there than there is tea? Yes. But that tea bag completely changes the taste, the character, the nature of everything that's in that pot. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it changes the whole character, the whole nature, the whole flavor of what's on the inside of us. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to infuse your life and my life with its strength. It's exactly what the Spirit and the mastery of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Or we can say that sin shall no more have no more dominion over you. The moment of danger was the moment of distraction. It matters little what distracts us. What does matter is that we are distracted from Him. And how easy that so often happens, and how disastrous are the results. The one thing the enemy of your soul, and one thing the enemy of this church wants to do over the next few coming months, is he wants to distract us. He wants to get our eyes on other things. He wants to get our focus off of Him. Him. That distraction can be temptation. Distraction can be circumstances. That distraction can be problems. That distraction personally can be resentments or injustices or sorrows. It doesn't matter. Because all He needs to sink this body, all He needs to sink us, is to distract us. Get our mind off the purpose. Get our mind off of what really matters. It's that our gaze is taken away from Him, away from His sufficiency. I'm here to tell you, I cannot predict, I cannot prophesy what challenges we may face as a body over the coming months. But I can tell you, whatever it is, He's more than sufficient. I don't know, I can't tell you over the next few months what disloyalty, what kind of hurt, what kind of hate, what kind of bitterness, what kind of resentment may be fomented on us. But I can tell you this, His love is sufficient. His love is greater. His love is bigger than all of that. I don't know all the conundrums of all of the things and the labyrinth of things that we might have to navigate, negotiate. But I know His wisdom is sufficient. I know His power. And I know that He wants to share His mastery with you as an individual and with us as a body of Christ today. Bible patriots, Bible prophets and kings, the 12 apostles, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, Titus, Bartholomew, Stephen, none of these people, Dorcas, none of these powerful spiritual people, they're no better people than you are. Not one ounce better. Not one, not any more prepared than you are. What makes the difference in the life of an Abraham versus a Lot? What makes the difference in the life of a Simon Peter versus that of a Judas? What makes the difference between the life of a Jude and James and Jambres is this: they never lost God in their circumstances. The people in Hebrews 11, Job just didn't lose God in his circumstance. The three Hebrew children didn't lose God in the flames. They let faith infuse them with the mastery in life to meet the difficult places of life. Redemption Church, here's what God is calling today. This is the message of the Holy Spirit today. It's time to get out of the boat, get in the wheelbarrow. If you don't understand what that means, there's something on the website. You can find the sermon and figure it out. It's called trust. Just get out of the boat. Get in the wheelbarrow and let's go across this with Jesus Christ. And while we're at it, let's make a decision today. We're not just going to get through it as a church, but going through it, I want Pastor Chris and Scott and Pastor Robert, I want the membership of this church, I want you to come through this storm with a new whole sense of mastery, spiritual mastery in your life. I want the level of your faith and confidence in your walk with God. I want you to walk into tomorrow with a whole new sense of a future of the love of God working and operating in your life. This isn't going to drown us. This isn't going to sink us. This isn't going to stop us. He sent us into this storm. He knew. I didn't know you didn't know. But He knew exactly what this church was going to have to navigate in 2012. But embedded in all of that, He's just set it up for mastery. Hallelujah. Pastor Fuller is going to come out of this with Redemption Church with a new sense of mastery. In your life, if you sense that this is a time, this is a critical moment, this is one of those spiritual kairos moments to step out of the boat of your comfortability where you feel like I've got my little world kind of together. Step out of that comfortability because you've been bailing water, admit it. You've been anxious. You've had some fears, admit it. Let's do this as a church. Let's do this as a body. Let's step out of the boat. Let's walk on this storm. Let's don't sink in it. Let's walk on it. Let's stand on top of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's walk on top of it. Let's gain some mastery today, right now.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.